Well, on Good Friday afternoon, they took down the body of Jesus from the cross, for he was as dead as a dead man can be. But on Easter Sunday afternoon, Jesus walked most of 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus with two of his followers. Jesus is in heaven now, seated at the right hand of the Father, but before he would ascend, he would remain on the earth for 40 days. Why? Why did he stick around that long? Well, I think there was at least four reasons. He loved his followers and wanted to give them the joy of seeing him again. Secondly, he wanted to remove all doubt that he was alive. Most of his followers were in deep distress and required some answers that only Jesus could give. And finally, he wanted to explain to them their role as witnesses in this greatest event of human history. So, listen as I read the text from Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. Now, that same day, that would be Easter, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When they were at the table with him, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up and returned once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now in our text, we're introduced to these two disappointed followers mourning the loss and talking together and sharing their grief. And for although it is Easter evening, the reality of Jesus' resurrection has not reached them or touched them or affected them in any way. So in the midst of their struggle, Jesus comes to them. Let that sink in for a minute. In the midst of their struggle, Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them. He came in the midst of their struggle and confusion and sadness. Now, every person will experience these struggles, difficulties at home or in church or with your child or your parents or your spouse. Or maybe you've just endured a divorce. Or maybe you almost wish you were headed in that same direction. Maybe you just flunked a test or afraid you're going to. Or perhaps the doctor's report is malignant and the prognosis is grim. No matter who you are, no matter what the issue, Jesus will come to you. Help you unravel the tangled threads of your life. Jesus will come to you. But like these two on the road, we often miss him, just like they did. His presence and his strength and his truth may go unnoticed. Why is that? What's the problem? Well, I think it's rather simple. Their Jesus is dead. They hardly expect him to walk with them back to their house. Jesus is dead. We had hoped that he was the one that would redeem Israel. We had hoped. Now, of course, Jesus was alive. He'd risen from the dead that morning. But they didn't know that. Why didn't they know? Well, two reasons. First of all, they left Jerusalem too soon. If they had remained within the fellowship just a few hours longer, they would have gotten the whole story. But they left. They left. They jumped to a false conclusion. Certainly happens to us too, doesn't it? We forget the necessity of patience. And we overlook the great value of fellowship with other Christian believers. And they didn't know the good news of the resurrection of Jesus because they left without hearing it. If you think, by the way, that that's a plug for regular worship and fellowship, you're right. We need to get together. Otherwise, we'll forget the story. If we don't meet regularly, the world will kick that right out of us. Well, this is exactly what Jesus seeks to correct. Their second problem, not that they left early, but the second reason they didn't recognize Jesus was because they didn't know their Bible. This is exactly what Jesus wanted to change. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Listen, if you don't know the Bible, you'll probably never know Jesus. No one comes into fellowship with God by desire alone. It takes more than sincerity. It takes truth. And the scripture is the truth. They hadn't understood the very key teaching of the scripture. Jesus asked, did you not realize that Christ the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? They mistakenly thought that the death of Jesus proved that he wasn't the Messiah. They didn't understand the clear teaching of their own scriptures. Jesus had to take the time to explain it to them, beginning with Moses and the prophets. Can you imagine what Sunday school lesson that must have been for Jesus to explain in all the scriptures, that would be the Old Testament, about him? What a lesson. They hadn't understood the command of Exodus chapter 12, the killing of the lamb, displaying the blood. It was a picture of the shed blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. They didn't know that. They hadn't put it together yet. Or the bondage in Egypt illustrated their bondage to sin and deliverance from bondage. It's a picture of God's deliverance. They didn't know that. The message of the prophet Isaiah, the one who was despised and rejected, the one who took our infirmities, carried our sorrows, pierced for our transgressions. They hadn't grasped that truth either. Isaiah's suffering servant was Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't know their Bible. No wonder they were depressed. Do you think there's a link between ignorance of the scriptures and shallow faith? Do you think there's a link? I think so. Did you ever wonder why Jesus, seeing them on the road, so discouraged that he didn't jump out in front of them and try and get their attention and standing there and shaking them by the shoulders and say, look, hey, it's me, it's Jesus. I think I might have done that. He didn't do that. That wasn't what they needed. They needed patient and clear instruction, biblical truth, sound teaching. Scripture records that God appears to a few in a great vision, revealing himself, and then comes instruction like Moses or Paul. But God doesn't come to most of us in a burning bush. The overwhelming pattern is just the opposite. There's instruction, and then there's revelation and understanding. This is the pattern we see here. They needed to understand what the Bible taught concerning the nature and role of the Messiah, how he would come to serve and suffer and be rejected and be killed and be raised again the third day. They didn't understand that. Jesus was not the Messiah in spite of the crucifixion. His betrayal and denial and the mob and the trial and the cross did not catch God the Father by surprise, taking him 3 days to come up with plan B. Jesus Christ is the Messiah because of the crucifixion. Did not Christ have to suffer? He told them. If Jesus hadn't died, hadn't shed his blood, we would still be in our sins. Sin would still have its hold on us. Sin had to be paid for somehow. God's righteousness had to be addressed. Salvation was won because the blood of the Messiah was shed. Well, the two walking to Emmaus didn't put that together. And that's why they were so sad. We read that as time passed, Jesus acted as if he would have gone further. But they urged him strongly, the scripture says, strongly, stay with us. See, Jesus came to these two because of their distress. He stayed with them because of their invitation. Jesus will come to us and stay with us if we invite him. How fortunate for them that they offered him hospitality. When Jesus is invited as a guest, he will soon become the host. Once he was invited, he'll take charge. I mean, even after all, he's the Lord. The meal was just beginning, and as he began, he gave thanks, and he broke bread, and he passed it to them, and then suddenly they realized who he was. They probably saw his hands, you know. And then he vanished. You see, now that they knew he was alive, they didn't need to see him anymore. They knew he was alive. If they know the risen Savior, if we know the risen Savior, we don't need to see his bodily presence anymore. Blessed are those who believe and do not see, Jesus said. We live by faith, after all, not by sight. Our fellowship with Jesus doesn't depend upon externals. Jesus Christ is present with us today, and because he promised to be by his Holy Spirit, so Easter keeps happening. Easter keeps happening, which means Jesus will join us on our journey and encourage us in our struggles and enlighten us through his word and abide with us if invited and reveal himself to us at our table. We've all heard of Helen Keller. Blind and deaf, who was one of the most insightful people of the last century. And she reflected, I have walked with people whose eyes are full of light, but who see nothing. They have physical sight, yet their souls voyage through this enchanted world with nothing but a barren stare. May the truth of Scripture grant each of us the gift of true sight, the awareness of his presence. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as you walked beside your friends on the Emmaus Road, help us to recognize you beside us here. We remember how in our past you have walked with us, even when we only knew it in retrospect. We remember how we saw signs of your presence and heard you call our name just when we needed it most. Open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you speaking, our mind to receive the truth of Scripture, and our hearts to love you more deeply. We confess that we have not believed with our whole heart and mind that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is indeed with us, or else we would walk more serenely and more confidently. We fail to look and listen for the Spirit of Jesus to meet us in the Scriptures, in the love of family, in a caring friend. We forget we do not have to beg you to be present with us, but need only to be attentive. So we confess now, O God, the sin of refusing your offer of an ongoing relationship in which we are met on life's road in unpredictable ways, meant to strengthen and to rescue and to delight. Forgive us, we pray, through the power and compassion of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen.